Well, that gets us to the third question, which is of interest, and that is how does the economic and social life of Outremer transform the Crusaders themselves and what they were familiar with? I've mentioned on a number of occasions the adaptation of existing economic systems as money fiefs, is how they would put it. That is, your fief was a set of revenues, the profits of justice, that is, the fines, the tolls you might levy. It could be an administrative post. In effect, what would be a public post in our society became a fief. And this was a very, very clever way of making up for the fact that you didn't have the kinds of manors and estates to hand out. And as a result, King Guy of Jerusalem at the Battle of Hattin in 1187 could field a very impressive army, including 1,200 knights. 200 paid by King Henry II of England, but most of them were provided under these various money fief arrangements. There was another way of also tapping into traditions of Europe and transforming them in the Levant. These are the so-called military monastic orders, and I think they're a good example of how conditions in the Levant forced the Crusaders to rethink some of their own institutions. The two most famous in the 12th century are the Hospitallers and the Templars. That is, the Knights of the Hospital and the Knights of the Temple. And what they were militarized monastic outfits. They were originally hospitals set up in Jerusalem to take care of pilgrims. The monks hired knights to secure the routes, and the military arms of both of these orders very quickly developed into independent orders. And I mentioned earlier that the Templars took over a good deal of the banking in Jerusalem. These orders were recognized by successive popes as a part of the clergy, in effect, and ordo in Latin means a special religious rank, and yet at the same time, they were warriors. And this was an extremely clever way of tapping into the enthusiasm and manpower of Western Europe to support the Crusader states. Because once you entered the Templars or the Hospitallers and assumed the knighthood in there, you now dedicated yourself as a soldier of Christ, and you were there to defend the Holy Land. In order to do so, you had to make donations. You pledged your estates to the order. A Grand Master was appointed who handled this. The Grand Masters of the Hospitallers and the Templars became two of the most important figures in the Crusader kingdoms. On the other hand, they brought in the manpower, resources, money from Europe. There were constant donations and properties. And steadily, as we shall see in future lectures, these military monastic knights take over a good deal of the defense of Outremer. But they also represent what I had stressed earlier. They represent an adaptation of European religious and military traditions to the Levantine setting. These orders would never have emerged had it not been for the fact that the kings of Jerusalem needed some type of manpower, did not have the familiar means, and so the orders evolved very quickly in the Levant, in the city of Jerusalem. And it's really Baldwin II who was so important in encouraging the militarization of these orders and turning them into this particular military caste. There were certain dangers involved in this, although those can be overstated. So in summation, we can say that the Crusaders proved very, very successful in exploiting their new environment, adapting to their new environment, and in turn, they were transformed by it. And they very successfully created a series of principalities in the Levant. To be sure, these Crusader states did depend on support from Western Europe, but they were not the kind of colonial powers or the colonial creations or associations one would attribute to Europeans of the 19th and 20th century. They were a far different type of settlement, and they were very typical of the Middle Ages, and that's one reason why they endured for 200 years.